Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And here we go, episode 19, Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. We are high atop the Tribune Tower here on the Mag Mile on the 7th floor in Studio A. I am Mike Jacobson, executive sports producer slash coordinator slash I really don't have an exact title here at WGN Radio. He is my man, Scott King, from the publication known as The Red Eye. Happy Thursday to you, sir.
Happy Thursday. You do it all. It's hard to put a title on that.
I just do a little bit of everything.
You wear many hats, sir, in this business, many headphones.
I do a little bit on air work. I book guests. I do podcasts. I do a little bit of everything. So I the exact term is executive sports producer.
We'll call you utility infielder for WGN.
That's right. That's right. You can stick me anywhere.
Yes.
Just kind of like... Who was a really good utility man back in the day? Think of somebody here off the top of my head.
You know who was a little bit of utility? You could throw him into a pitch if you had to. Is Ron Karkovice.
Oh, my. Ron Karkovice. I would never think that that would make an appearance, that name, here on the Blackhawks Crazy
Podcast. I'm glad it did.
You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. Subscribe to us on iTunes. I know you're listening to it right now, but if you haven't subscribed, so you just get it right to your phone each and every week, you can do that, Blackhawks Crazy. Just search that. He is at Scott King Media on Twitter. I am at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. You can use the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy for any comments and or questions. Big win for the Blackhawks last night. They got a huge win that we'll talk about in a little bit, too, over the Caps. So two big wins for the Hawks. They have a two-point lead now in the Central. They actually lead all of the Western Conference. And you see some of the new faces kind of contribute last night. Arov had a great night. He's getting up there and getting aggressive. Definitely not shy in his debut. Andrew Ladd starting to gel a little bit there. And I thought Corey Crawford had another great night. Seabrook ends up with a three-point night, almost 4 points. I almost thought he had 4 points.
And then they took,
A couple of people
did think that, and they took it away. But still a huge night, 3 points.
Yeah, and they had the Joe Louis Arena. The first time they've played the Red Wings all year, which I know it's been a little while now, but it just still feels so weird that they're in the Eastern Conference and they only see them twice a year.
Yeah.
So now the Hawks, they seen them the first time yesterday, and then they're going to see them again on Sunday at the United Center.
Yeah.
But it's just March 2nd, that's the first time you see the Red Wings? Yeah, just weird.
Yeah, is you know, we might get more into it, but the rivalry fizzled out a little bit. It was, you know, so at its height when, you know, right before they left the division with the playoffs there in 2013. And Seabrook shot, and he had another nice goal last night.
Where does that rivalry rank? The Blackhawks and the Red Wings in terms of all time in Chicago sports history? Because to me, it's got to be up there. I would still say the Bears and Packers are the number one rivalry, but overall, in the history of Chicago sports, Blackhawks and Red Wings might be number two.
I'm not going to argue that. I think so.
I mean, I don't want to say Cubs Sox because that's they meet six times a year and it's whatever.
It's the same city.
Cubs Cardinals.
Nobody likes or roots for both sports teams in one city. You're going to have a little bit of a kind of an inherent rivalry there, and yeah, you know, that's just how it is. But I totally agree. I think Detroit was there. And, I mean, look at all the things that happened long time ago from the early days of original six hockey. And just, I agree with you that they're number two there. Maybe you can argue number three. But in terms of best sports games I've ever been to, that Game 7 versus Detroit, for me, is the best sports game I've ever been to. Just the place just went crazy.
Were you there covering it, or were you?
I was there, a spectator, a pedestrian, if you will, civilian. It was crazy
amongst the people.
And I've never heard that place so loud. When Seabrook scores in overtime, a hell of a slap shot there. Place went nuts with the dumb penalty on Saad to take away Yarmolson's goal when it looked like he had the goal ahead go there in the third. And it was just a crazy game. The way they clawed back, being down 3-1 in that series.
It was fun.
It was insane.
That was an exciting series. That's one of the. I mean, but there's been so many moments with the Blackhawks over the past you know, during their Stanley Cup run.
Yeah, you forget about something. That's so many great moments and all these deep playoff runs. You're right.
Well, yeah, when you win three cups in 6 years, I mean, when it's hard to define what you get to moment's the best.
The Wings knocked the Hawks out of the Western Conference final there in 08-09 season.
Was it 08-09?
Yeah, okay. Before they won.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So they take them on last night, and everybody knows that the Red Wings are kind of in a rebuilding process, and they've got some young promising players.
I think they won four straight, though, before playing the Hawks. They were hot.
And, I mean, they've got some young talent there that they're developing. I mean, Larkin, that guy.
He's great, having a great rookie year.
Yeah, he's something special. He's going to be something that's he's going to be a guy that you're going to hear a lot about from Detroit for a very long time.
Solid, well-rounded game.
And the other rookie that was out there and happens to be at the Blackhawks side, Panarin, just keeps doing it. Two more goals last night. First goal was kind of like right there for him, but yeah. Five-on-three goal, which by the way, I saw that stat too. Blackhawks 5-on-3 this year. They're 8 out of 11.
Oh wow!
Which that's amazing.
Well, their power play has just been so good. I think you can argue Panarin's maybe been the biggest part of that. I would have to pull up who has the most goals on special teams on the power play, but just look at the plays Panarin's making. It seems like he's always finding a way, if not scoring, to get it to Kane or to get it to the point, someone like Seabrook to score there.
Yeah, and it was just a great overall win. Q was raving about Kane and Panarin. I feel like that question is almost asked every night after the game, you know, about their chemistry. But overall, this was – if you're going to – sum up a win for the Blackhawks in Q speak. This is as happy as he's going to get right here.
Had a good game across the board. I liked the new guys' contributions. I liked the depth and the balance and the rotation of the four lines. I thought Christian on the back end looked very comfortable back there and made some good rushes. Had a great chance to score. But I think, you know, I thought our team game with the puck was good.
That's about as good as you're going to get from Coach Q.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a happy. Very, very happy, man.
Speaking of happy, real quick, I have to wish a happy birthday to my father, Bill King, whose birthday is tomorrow on Friday. He listens to every podcast. I want to say happy birthday to him.
You call him Bill, Billy, we go Willie.
I go Dad.
Well, that actually, that makes a little, is he just go as Bill?
He goes by Bill, yeah.
What about William?
When he calls in the sports shows, he goes by Bill from Burr Ridge.
Bill from Burr Ridge. He calls in frequently?
No. He used to call into my sister's radio show in DePaul because it was just the college radio show, and she didn't have a lot of callers, so he would call in.
Oh,
she did a great job, though.
Those college radio shows.
I used to do an impression of Duncan Keith on that show.
And you're going to have to do it right now.
Hey, does anyone know a good dentist?
That's your Duncan Keith?
That sounds like Adam Sandler, I guess.
You got to do it a little bit more than just one line.
Hey, does anyone know a good dentist? There you go.
It's not bad. I would maybe stick with the whole writing thing, but it's not bad. It's not bad.
I'll try to work that into my show and radio appearances, my player impressions.
There you go. Those college radio shows, though. Oh, God. I remember I did one at the Illinois Center for Broadcasting, and it's like you tell your friends and your parents, and they're the only ones that listen. And I would listen back on them as I've progressed through radio and how awful it was. I'll never forget the first interview I ever had. That I booked, and I was so nervous, was Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. Now he covers the Chicago Cubs, but he was covering the White Sox back then. And I am a White Sox fan, full disclosure, so I wanted to have a White Sox
hat. You're usually wearing a Sox hat when I come in, which is a good one. That's a good hat.
And I'm wearing one right now. It needs washing, though. It's got a little bit of little stuff on the brim, but getting back on the point here. I was so nervous talking to him, and you listen back to that first interview you ever did, and it's like, oh. I was asking him about, like, Scotty Pods. That's how long ago this was.
He was, I mean, he was a big part of that team in the championship. He was an interesting guy. He was so small, and he could still hit some dingers, you know?
So that was back in 2008. So you're talking maybe 7 years ago. So that was, but those college radio shows are just, they're the best.
I will refuse. I cannot watch any of the open mics I used to tape myself at doing stand-up when I started. It has to be such a nightmare.
Oh, well.
And it's in front of other comedians who are trying to do the same thing so they're not laughing.
Yeah.
It's like that was maybe the worst part of my life ever, was doing open mics in Chicago trying to learn how to be funny. It's terrible.
If you do any sort of stand-up in any sort of capacity, my tat is always tipped to you.
You're a good man.
That is not
it's hard.
You're out there and you bomb, and that is something that every comedian has to go through over and over and over again. That's mentally got to be grueling.
I will say, but when you're bombing in comedy, you can address it and make fun of yourself or maybe do crowd work. When you're bombing in improv, it's like watching a boat go down. It is There's nothing worse than bad improv ever.
Ooh, it's yeah, I've seen some bad improv.
Yeah, it hurt. It like hurts your stomach.
Yeah, I remember at Iowa, there was like an open mic night at, when I was at the University of Iowa, and one of my friends participated in it, and he was actually pretty good. And he actually still does some acting on the side.
Okay,
and he lives out in Los Angeles now. But anyway, there was a couple of guys that got up on the mic. There was actually one girl that was just brutal. Like, you felt bad for her.
That's how it is. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You felt bad for it. It's like
they should call open mic night disappointment night for the audience and the performers. No one leaves there happy. Everyone's just kind of upset, and they, you know, maybe I should have watched a movie.
Back to hockey?
I guess. I was having fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
me
sure.
too. I wasn't really.
That's why we're here, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess it was a good night for the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
You know, Brent Seabrook had 13th goal of the year. That's his. He keeps extending his career high in goals. 34th victory for Corey Crawford. It's his career high.
Two big ones in a row. Not just Crawford having two great performances, but two huge. Well, I think we'll get into the Cavs just a little bit later, but two huge games back to get some momentum against good teams, hot teams.
And the Blackhawks are back on the ice tonight against Boston. They could play the Bruins tonight. So we would expect with the back-to-back, obviously, that Scott Darling will be in net, and it'll be good to kind of get him out there, stretch his legs a little bit. But it was, 34 wins on the year already, a career high, and you're talking, and we've played 65 games, so we've got 18 more to go, if my math, is that right? 17 or 18 more to go, something like that. That's why I'm not.
Who's got a calculator?
I don't like calculators. I don't like any sort of math, to be honest with you. So we're just going to leave it somewhere around that area. So that's really impressive. Patrick Kane's got 88 freaking points, man.
His jersey. Where is scoring his jersey? That's insane right now. I mean, You just hope that he can stay healthy to get to 100. And, you know, again, like I said a few weeks ago on his show, he's going to have a few multi-point games as he's getting close to 100. That's exactly what's happened. He's going to be right there in 2-3 games. He could be very close to 100 points already.
Jamie Benn led the league last year with 87.
Yes.
So, and he's already surpassed that.
Yeah, look at that special season he's having. And
there are 17 games left. I just looked at it.
A lot of that is thanks to Panarin and Anisimov, and Kane wouldn't refute that. He's been playing great, but he's had a lot of help on that line, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs.
One of the scarier moments last night with the Detroit game, and again, a nice win, but the Andrew Desjardins play, or hit, I should say, where he got hit by Erickson. I don't think it was a dangerous play.
I think it's very dangerous.
You thought so?
I think a lot of people thought that. It's very dangerous.
When I watched it, I don't think it was intentional.
He hits some. Maybe he gets a little of the side, but definitely coming from behind a defenseless guy and some. I know you don't have a lot of time when you're trying to make a play, but
and Desjardins ended up getting the double.
You can tell he's going to fall bad into the boards the way he did with that hit, I think it might have been a little late even.
He took offense to it too because he dropped the glove.
Yeah, and then he gets like two good ones and they don't even let him fight. They don't call a penalty. They don't call a major on a dangerous play. So Desjardins is a tough guy. He has to stick up for himself.
He got a double minor and then Erickson just got the
and
minor.
He gets a double minor and then he has to go to the locker room for concussion protocol because that's how dangerous the hit was. And he passed and he came back and looked okay. And we don't hear that he's out for tonight. It looks like he's going to play. But I think if you watch that, it was a hit on a defenseless guy, mostly from behind and into a really dangerous part on the ice, right on the boards there. And the way he hit his face, he checked his nose and his teeth. He kind of laid there for a little bit before he went after Erickson to fight him.
Yeah, it was a scary situation, but in the end, I would assume he passed protocol, and that's, you know.
We'll see what happens.
I mean, he was
Sunday.
Back on the bench, so.
Him and maybe some other guys are going to have a short memory with that hit, I'll tell you that.
And then Dale Weiss, we haven't seen him yet because he's had this visa issue. He was one of the acquisitions that the Blackhawks made. He came along with Tomas Fleischmann,
yes.
From the Canadiens.
The
he
Flash.
Got two veteran guys that are going to be on each side of Teuvo Teravainen. He arrived last night like in the middle of the game.
I believe what you just mentioned could be referred to as the WTF line.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take it.
It's like the Weiss, Teravainen, and Fleischmann.
They're going to be good, too. I think we'll be throwing out some WTFs there.
It sounds like a law firm.
Every time you say two or three players' names together, it always sounds like a law firm.
It does. It really does. So, but the fact that they obviously believe in Teuvo Teravainen because they go out and they make this move. They get two veteran guys who played well together when they were with Montreal.
And they had confidence in him playing center.
So he's going to be the centerman. And they wanted to put pieces around Teuvo. So all these rumors about maybe packaging him and trading him away, never came to fruition, obviously, and they decided, hey, we want to build around him. Again, he's a 21-year-old guy. It does not surprise me that they went this route.
It was the right decision. Other teams might not have done that. You can be sure that they at least, listened to a lot of phone calls and teams asking for him or to consider a trade with him, because I know they were. I mean, most teams were asking about him.
Do you like him at center?
I do. That line looked good last night. I think he's
And we'll see what Weiss does tonight, because he will play tonight.
I think it's the right move for now.
Assuming.
Because I think you got quick guys on either end of him, guys that can play gritty and guys that can score. Fleischman had 20 points before joining the Hawks. I think Weiss had 26 points.
Okay.
And Weiss is 27. Fleischman, a little more of a veteran, 31. And those guys are playmakers. And with Tavo, I think why you're seeing him at center is because they realize when Quinville's throwing him into both parts of special teams, all kinds of situations. He's killing penalties. He's going with this line, that line. He's able to make.
He's been a utility all kinds, man.
He's been a great utility man, much like you here at WGN Radio. So I think that's why I've seen him at center. I think he's looked good there so far, and you could expect him to stick there.
Yeah, so we'll see. It'll be cool to see Weiss on the feet, and just, you know, because it's going to take time for them to build chemistry on that line. And also, too, we have, you know, Marian Hossa was placed on IR back on February 14th. They said it was going to be a couple of weeks. Now it looks like it's going to end up being 3 weeks. He might play. He's not going to play tonight. He might play on Sunday when Detroit comes to town.
Yeah, Q said could play. That usually means will play.
Yeah, so it'll end up being 3 weeks if that's the case. And then you got to start getting that chemistry together with him, Ladd, and Taves on that first line.
Well, so I'm going to give the give what I think the projected line combinations are later. Someone asked, what's going to happen basically when everyone's healthy. So I'll get to that later. It's other teams are going to have to really watch out.
Wanted to touch again on that before we get into the World Cup rosters, which have been set, and 9 Blackhawks are going to be going there. We'll get into who is going there, maybe who was snubbed, as the kids like to say. That Caps game. That was one of the more – I was actually working that game, and it was one of the more – it had a playoff feel to it, didn't it?
It did.
I don't know if it was because of the 11:30 start. I don't know if it was because it was on national TV, NBC, not even NBC Sports Network. It just had a really playoff vibe to it. A lot of people think maybe a preview of the Stanley Cup.
I think so.
Just the energy and the fast-paced movement. I mean, that it was fast-paced throughout the entire game.
Since the puck drop, and I think it's because you see the two best teams in the league playing each other, first of all, and then the Hawks get Ladd, which they're thrilled with.
That was his premiere.
And they had just lost their last game. They had some time off, and they had lost 6-1 in Minnesota outside. So obviously they want to redeem themselves, and they really brought it.
And they lost one after that, too, to Nashville, didn't they, in between that time?
Did they?
I think they lost 2 heading into that Capitals game.
You might be right.
But regardless, yeah. It was that was a huge win. Ovechkin, he's just always putting the puck on net. It's unbelievable the amount of shots that guy gets on net.
You know, he tried to generate a little bit of offense.
Corey had a great game. I mean, the Blackhawks really didn't get that many. I felt like they weren't pressuring them that much in their own zone that often until towards the end.
It got going, yeah. It was a tight game. They got going more a little bit later, and it looked like, I forgot which defensive pairing would have been on. Probably Hjalmarsson and Keith were able to shut down Ovechkin, I thought, really limit him, despite how good and versatile he is.
But then when it got to be 3-2, and there was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, you're like, are they going to actually hold this off? But then they ended up holding it off.
Wasn't there a questionable call, too, to give didn't the Caps get a power play goal?
They did.
I think that you can even argue in the later two periods, the Hawks kind of dominated.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was just and the first period flew by. It was just very exciting. So if that's a preview of the Stanley Cup Final, I think the NHL, Gary Bettman, and all the brass
would be happy.
They'd be very happy. You got two big markets. Are the Capitals finally going to do it?
Yeah.
Or are they going to fall flat on their face again?
That kick pass from Panic to Rasmussen. Rasmussen?
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 Rasmussen? Sendiego? Sendiego?
Moss? That was sick, that kick pass. And he scored that goal right in front of the net.
It was. He's
TBR
a
stretch pass. It was actually, I think it was in the blue line. It was actually a really long pass to Kane right in front of the net. It was sick, too.
Yeah.
So you see, starting that game, and you're right, they did lose to Nashville right before that, 3-1. You're seeing in the Caps game and in last night's game, some really good plays, really precise on the tape passes from far away, reaching guys and guys scoring.
Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. I'm Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. The World Cup rosters were set yesterday officially. 9 Blackhawks get to go. Panarin, Anisimov, Chalmerson, Hossa, Kane, Keith, Crawford, Taves, Teravainen. Want to know when you're a good hockey team? When 9 of your players get put on the World Cup rosters.
These are preliminary rosters. There's a chance maybe Seabrook makes it later. They're going to have to add a few more guys all around and maybe a couple on each team still.
And actually, normally we don't do this. We wait till the end to do these our fan questions. But you can submit those questions on Facebook, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy, or use the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy on Twitter. And I just wanted to get this one in because Mike Fry asked, what's your opinion of Seabrook not getting a spot, at least right off the top here? It's Team Canada, man. It's not easy to crack that roster anyway.
Yeah, and for the preliminary roster, it looks like they're taking even less guys than they would for the Olympics. Look, it's fair. He has good offensive numbers now. We were talking before the show, Mike.
Yeah, I mean,
Mike
he's got 13 goals on the year. It's a career high.
And his
plus minus isn't bad.
Yeah, I think it's right around 10.
There's just been times where I feel like he's out of position defensively.
I agree, and you see that. I think him and Gustafson are going to end up being a really good pair, I think, down a stretch for the Hawks, for the second pairing.
Yeah, they were together last night.
And I think
I like that pair.
Yeah, I think they played well. I think they're going to only improve. But I think when you're competing against guys like Weber and Vasek and Doughty,
There's a lot of competition.
Yeah,
there.
He's not. I don't think he's going to beat out those guys for the preliminary roster.
Now, does he have the best hair out of that group? Potentially.
Probably. He's got some Eddie Munster, locks going there.
He's got.
He can do whatever he wants. He can use any kind of gel or pomade, and
his hair is just absolutely glorious. A lot of hockey players just have great hair.
He probably wins it now that Sharp's gone. The hair, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he's up there, man. Kaner.
Shaw.
I think Kaner's heading down the same path as I am. I don't think
you're in good company. You're an MVP company.
Taves really doesn't have that much lettuce up there either.
That's true.
Which is kind of ironic. The two stars of the team.
Just when things go south, you got to shave it all.
Crawford. Oh yeah.
You got to shave it all and be the cool bald guy.
No horseshoe for me.
There's some cool bald white guys out there.
I call it an honest haircut. If it starts thinning to the point where you just got to shave it, man. Just be honest.
I know
yourself.
Somebody you could talk to for advice on this.
Oh, yeah?
What is someone you used to work with?
Oh, yeah.
He's a cool bald guy. He really pulls it off, the Cat Man.
He's talking about David Kaplan, who I used to produce. Yeah, well, yeah, but certain guys can pull off the full shave.
My friend Coach Dean could pull it off, my old wrestling coach.
See, there's certain people that can't pull off that. I don't think I could pull off the full shave head. I would just do the bick. Not the bick, but just like the one on top and just kind of like have little patches everywhere.
I think it works for you. I think you just can't be a big fat dude with a bald head. I think it's going to go south.
Yeah, the whole being obese and bald combination is never the most flattering.
Right. Yes, it doesn't help you.
No. If you're going to be bald, try to stay in shape as best as you possibly can.
Or if that
some
is
advice
your case,
from the Blackhawks crazy folks.
If that is how you have to live, at least smile at everyone.
There you go. So it'll be cool to see Panarin and Anisimov on Team Russia. Team Finland, that's where Mr. Teravainen's going to go.
Yeah, good for him.
Just 21 years old. That'll be fun. Crawford and Nat, that's big for him.
Yeah.
Especially, Team Canada. That's
he got
huge.
The Olympic snub,
Yeah.
I think that was
got the All-Star snub, too.
Yeah. Yeah, this year he got the All-Star. He played an All-Star game last year, though. And it was a joke that they had to put all those Nashville guys in this year. There was a lot of mistakes were made with the roster in the All-Star game this year, I'll say. But I did think he was snubbed for the Olympics. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
In Canada. And I think that was because he was injured a little bit right before the rosters were announced. But it's good to see him rep Canada there now.
Did you see the World Cup of Hockey jerseys that they had up?
I did.
I think they're pretty sharp.
I saw the picture of them. I think they're really well done. I think Canada might have the coolest one.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, I like the Team Canada jersey.
Coach Q is going to be an assistant coach on Team Canada as well. Mike Babcock, head coach, which makes sense, I guess, kind of.
Stan Bowman, North America GM or assistant GM?
I don't know.
I believe he is.
Is he?
He's affiliated, I believe, with Team North America.
So that'll be fun to watch at the World Cup of Hockey. So so the roster is set. They're not 100% set, but the preliminary rosters are out. So 9 Blackhawks get in. And, so the Blackhawks got Boston tonight, and then they get a few days off, and then Detroit comes into town. Boston third in the Atlantic right now. Again, the Blackhawks, they are atop the Central Division. Dallas is kind of going on a little bit of a losing streak here. They've lost four in a row.
Yeah.
So the Blackhawks have a two-point lead in the Central. They lead the entire conference. But don't look now, but those Anaheim Ducks are really cruising. They've won nine in a row. They're tied in the Pacific Division now with the Kings. That's a dangerous, dangerous team. They made a few moves at the trade deadline. I know everyone's everyone kind of talks about, you know, Bruce's ability not to win Game 7, which it's something that's followed him around since he was in Washington. But that's a very dangerous team.
Maybe we'll see another Game 7. That was a hell of a series.
And I got a soft spot for Boudreaux because I used to interview him once a week, and he's actually a really nice guy. I think he's the greatest coach? No, I really don't.
He's a ball guy.
He is ball.
He's a hefty ball guy.
And he's
very successful.
Very roly-poly like. he's a player's coach. I just feel like sometimes he needs to correct the whip a little bit, and I think that's why he hasn't maybe had as much success in his career as he possibly could. He's a very good coach because we've seen him. I mean, look at all those years with the Capitals.
That's why Ovechkin chased him out of there.
They always implode. All his playoff teams always implode, and I think that has to do with a lot with discipline and other things. But
always a few things.
That's another day, another story, whatever. So Blackhawks, again, they will have a couple of games here, and in order to pick up a couple of points in each of those games, we now go to the Kings Keys.
One key today, heading into Boston. I think guys just need to play your position, keep things simple to help out the new guys, to help out the acquisitions on the team. You do that by winning battles, get pucks deep, and win faceoffs.
There you go.
Yes.
King's Keys.
I always find I enunciate better during the King's Keys. Like, it's like my moment. It's like my little moment on the show, and I like really
one shining
feel like I'm reading
moment.
Shakespeare.
Reach for the stars. One shining. Now, that's March Madness, which is going to be around the corner. Selection Sunday, a week from this Sunday.
Hey, now.
It's the only time I care about college basketball. Could care
I agree.
Less,
I totally
care
agree.
Less until March Madness.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, though.
I hear you.
So there you are. King's Keys. Pick up a couple of points in the next couple of games here. Again, Hossa could be on the ice on Sunday. He's skating out that lower leg injury. In Q speak, it does sound like he will be out there. It makes sense not to bring him on the road for a back-to-back. So we'll see how Scott Darling does in net tonight. And we could squeeze one question here from our fans that listen to the podcast. And we love that you listen to the podcast because that's the reason why we do it. We don't talk into the microphone just for fun. Even though it is fun, we also like when people listen, respond, give us questions and comments. And this one comes from, as my browser continues to not load, and there we go. Mike Fry, we did his earlier. Rich Marino, who is the odd man out when we are a 100% healthy team? Now, I didn't know that Rich was part of the team when he said we, but now I understand what he said.
Oh, they signed him as a free agent, actually.
Rich Marino.
I got to say, Brock Adams also asked about this a little earlier, but I forgot. He messaged me. So thanks to Brock, too, and Rich asked a good question, both of them. I interrupted you. I thought you were going to answer first, but
I'm going to let you take because you kind of teased it before.
Yeah, you're right.
Know, in terms of how the once everybody comes back healthy, what the lines are going to look like.
Yes, exactly. I think that the guys who are going to be the odd men out are Rasmussen, Panik, and Machinter. I think those are the guys you're going to have to sit to make room. Because look, you have Ladd now. Obviously, he's going to stay on the top line. So your first line is Ladd, Taves, Hossa, then Panarin, Anisimov, Kane, and then Weiss, Teravainen, and Fleischman for the WTF line, and which is a good thing to have all those lines because then you get the shutdown line back that you had worked so well in the playoffs last year, but that was able to shut down Corey Perry and Getzlaff and all those top lines they face, which is Desjardins, Kruger, and Shaw. So at first, I wrote on Twitter, actually, I thought it might be Weiss, Teravainen, and Shaw because that's a real smack you in the mouth third line.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can maybe see that a little bit, but I think it'll be that fourth line in the playoffs again.
And say who again? Who you the fourth line again?
Desjardins, Kruger, Shaw. I think it's going to end up being yeah.
And again, the latest on Kruger is that they're expecting him to be back for the playoffs.
Yeah. And that's the timetable. You're not gonna rush it, and he'll give them a lot of options down the stretch. Great on the penalty kill, obviously, too.
And it's gonna take him a minute to get back into the groove of things. It's not.
It might not be that hard though. He's still skating. I mean, he just injured his wrist there, right? He's still skating.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they have a great strength and conditioning coach, Paul Goodman, I believe is his name. I think he'll be ready.
Real quick before we wrap things up here, Andrew Ladd thus far. The move, I mean, it's very – he sounds like he's going to be a rental. He said he'd be open to obviously staying here, and he'd love to stay here. I don't think the Blackhawks –
it's going to be hard to do.
I don't think the Blackhawks are going to decide him. Yeah. Did you like that trade? Was it worth it to go all in?
I loved it. You're given the Jets, Marco Dano, and first-round pick in 2016, and then a conditional pick in 2018. But you're also getting Matt Frazier, who's a forward, and a defenseman, Jay Harrison, from the Jets. Those guys are in Rockford now. Yeah, look, Ladd's he's only 30. He knows the system well. He meant so much to Chicago when he was here. He obviously meant a lot to the Jets organization.
Great dressing room guy.
There we go. Yeah, for sure.
English, we like to speak it.
No, they loved him in Winnipeg for 6 years, and he had 34 points. Heading to the Hawks, he has points in 2 games with the Hawks.
Yeah, you took a captain away from a Western Conference opponent.
A guy who can be a first-line guy and make a difference. He already has 2 points in 2 games with the Hawks. And he actually had he was on a 3-game goal streak before he got here, so he has 4 goals in his last 5 games.
Great beard, too.
Solid beard.
He's a handsome man.
Yes.
Gotta give him that. And then one quick note, too. This actually happened right before we came on. We record this like in the middle of the afternoon on Thursday today. So Kyle Baughn, two-year contract extension, which is going to run through 2017-18 with the Blackhawks. So he's a 23-year-old guy. He's tallied 3 helpers in 22 games with the Rockford IceHogs. They've always seemed to like this kid.
Full head of hair, too.
Yeah. I'm telling you, hockey players are never follically challenged. Very few of them.
Getzlaff.
I was going to say Getzlaff.
Your buddy Getzlaff.
Yeah, he is, but he's done all right for himself. I've met Mrs. Getzlaff, and the whole hair thing, that's not bothering his game.
I was going to say, it might be a sore subject in their marriage, though. She's probably like asked him, like, hey, look, at least try Propecia. And he's like, no, I got to play hockey.
Have you seen Brian Urlacher? He looks great.
Yeah.
I wonder if Urlacher's still got the hair. Or if he's just like, yeah, because he said he's like, if he gets sick of it, he's just going to shave it again.
Maybe they're just like hair plugs he did for the TV appearance, and he just threw them in the garbage. Now he's
hanging out,
counting his checks that he got for doing that.
He got paid a lot of money to do that. A whole lot of money. Not bad. Not a bad deal there. Because then again, you get free hair. If you don't like the way it looks after a while, you can just shave it. And you're getting paid. You probably got paid $1 million.
It's like my uncle always told me, there's a lot of money in hair.
And that's a way to end a podcast here, the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, episode 19. That'll put a bow on it. We will talk to you next week. Hawks and Bruins tonight. And then they got Detroit coming in town to the United Center on Sunday. Next week it is.